What do you do when you're not posting content about your product? And how is that going to help you build a community of loyal customers? You are listening to the Street Cred Podcast, the show helping you turn your clothing brand into a community. And today is a very special episode, one that I've been wanting to do for a very long time because, I mean, I'm helping clothing brands build a community, but I have a community of my own, and I've wanted to somehow involve the members of my community and share about, you know, some of the things, some of the brands that they're building, and then also do these kind of workshop style episodes where I can sit down with brand owners and you can actually see how we go about turning a brand identity into non-promotional content. So I'm very excited to welcome the first community member to this series of episodes. Harry, welcome to the show.
Hello guys, how are you all doing? Hi Elijah, thank you for the warm welcome.
Yeah, no, thanks for joining me. And look, we're gonna get into it. We're gonna explain exactly what we're doing in this you know, series of episodes and what we're gonna do in today's episode. But I think it's really important. I mean, like I just want to do like a little plug for the community, if you wouldn't mind, Harry, because I mean, I love the space. People hear me talking about our community, Streetwear 365, on the podcast all the time. But I'd love if they heard from someone who's actually in the community, who doesn't have to say that they like it. And so all I want you to do, Harry, if you could tell people, you know, what is our community, Streetwear 365, and then why should they join or should they not? I don't know. You tell us.
Oh yeah, I will. I'm more excited to talk about this than anybody else. I'm part of the founding members when Streetwear 365 started out. I kind of found this by exploring school.com, and I stumbled on a community called Brand Builders, where I got banned, and I was like trying to contribute to the community, trying to get knowledge back from the community. And it was really funny. And then I fell into Streetwear 365 with a warm welcome. Elijah had everything laid out to you as a new clothing brand owner. There were marketing materials free for you to pick up and read and learn from. It was mind-blowing. And for me to think and digest that for a second, that it is free and so much of value provided, it was amazing, right? It really shaped my thought process as I started to build my clothing brand. And I'm pretty sure that everybody and their mother should join Streetwear 365 to take advantage of what is now free in this community, right? That's probably what I would want to talk about, the value that's been provided right there.
No, thanks for sharing that, Harry. So, I mean, you heard it here first, folks. There's a link in the description to join our community, Streetwear 365, for free. We both, Harry and I, want to welcome you so that you can call this community your own as well. There is a free streetwear marketing course inside. There are now more than 60 motivated brand owners that you can network with. And it's great because, you know, most people have to pay for a team of creatives around them to be able to, you know, have this, you know, bounce off ideas. You get that for free. You don't have to have a team around you, and that's expensive and hard to get. So this is exactly how you can get that, you know, that network of support around you for free. But anyway, thanks for that, Harry. Enough of that. No more ads. I promise. It's not an ad. I'm not even going to call it that. It's just value. But look, what we're doing today is we're doing a brainstorming session. Very simply, like it's very different from our like regular interviews that we do. And so Harry has a clothing brand that I'm going to get him to outlay in a second. But what we're going to do is we're going to turn this clothing brand into some content that Harry can start posting today. And the idea is that maybe it'll inspire you, dear brand owner, dear listener, to do the same with your brand. Because the question is, like, it's easy to post product content, you know, just, you know, make a product, take some photos of it, make some videos, whatever. Everyone gets that. The part that people get stuck on is, how do you create the value content, the entertainment, education, inspiration, the content that is non-promotional, that is going to help you build a community? So Harry, please start us off. Tell us a bit of background about your clothing brand. What's it called? What is your brand about? How did it start?
That's a great question, Elijah. I'm already excited about this call and where it's going to lead and what value I'm going to derive out of it. Again, free, right, for those who are listening in, right? So about my brand is called Grit City Clothing, Grit City Clothing. I'm basically from Detroit, Michigan. It's called as a Grit City. That's where the inspiration sounded from. I am a vice president of an IT company. I also have two other businesses that I run, along with the clothing brand that I started about 2 weeks ago. I'm highly motivated.
Serial entrepreneur, people.
And so is my partner here. So we both wanted to do something together that really, really helps us build Grit Cities up for the hardworking people of the community, for the doers of the community, for the hustlers that do multiple jobs, right? We wanted to build a community, not just a clothing brand, a movement which people will lock on into and grow with us and be part of a community of doers, visionaries, game changers, hustlers, right? And that is what Detroit is all about. Not only that, we also want to spread this across regionally to cities like Tacoma, which is also called a grid city, New York, Los Angeles, and so on and so forth. Why not? Even Australia, if Elijah is excited about one of his town, right? There you go.
Yes, sir. So. Yes, sir. Yeah, I think it would be like we've spoken a little bit about your brand, like through our community forum and, you know, off camera. You mentioned something really interesting to me about grit cities, even that term, what it meant, because I had no idea. I'd love if you could briefly explain to listeners what is a grit city?
Exactly, right? A great question again from Elijah. Puts me on the spot every time just to make sure that I know my brand perfectly, right?
So, keeping you on your feet.
Yeah, I know. What happened to a city like Detroit was it became bankrupt because of the financial, the 2011 and 9 crisis, I think. The year, I'm not sure about it, right? So this city, 2013, right? Because of this bankruptcy, the city really had to evolve itself from its ashes, like the Phoenix in our logo. From ground up, people had to do 2 or 3 jobs to put food on table. Buildings had to be restored, right? The automobile industry had to come back up on its feet and give the business back into Detroit to make it booming again. Now, Detroit is one of the most sought after cities. That term, that resilience that the city had to come back on its feet from its ashes, like the Phoenix rising, right? That is the grit. And people of Detroit and Detroit Lions, the team, has the grit in winning these championships. And that is where the term resilience and grit play together.
Lovely. No, that's a great breakdown. I mean, the way I make sense of it, and it's, I mean, you said it perfectly. The grit city is one that was really, it was in ruins. It was in ashes. It experienced some great hardships. Mm-hmm. And it was because of the people of the city coming together that allowed the city to elevate itself and the people of the city to where it is today, to it, you know, to its position of strength once again. And it's a beautiful image of the power of the people, right?
And that is why our tagline for this brand is called Wear Your Grit. So Wear Your Grit
Wear
is your
grit.
Yeah, there you go. That's our tagline. Yeah. Go to market messaging here.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. One thing I want to point out for listeners, Harry, because you've done this so beautifully. You cannot create a community around a product. You can, however, around an idea. And so in order to build a community, even before you get to the content that you're going to post to social media, that's going to gather the people, that's going to have, you know, bring in those loyal customers that really care about your brand message, you need to know what your brand message is. You need to know what kind of community you are gathering in order to gather. Because, I mean, if you don't know what your community is about, how can you even have a community? And so this is exactly like you'll notice everything that Harry said has absolutely nothing to do with the product. He hasn't mentioned product. He hasn't mentioned his drop. He hasn't mentioned his t-shirt. He hasn't mentioned, although he has those things and those things are great. The truth is this is just his pure brand identity that has nothing about his product. And this is what his community is about. So thanks for doing that so perfectly, Harry.
Thank you, Elijah, for being a pillar of support. Without you, I don't think we would have moved so fast and in 2 weeks' time got to the place where we are right now.
Oh, no, thanks for saying that. I really appreciate you, Harry. Look, so what I want to do as like just to keep our goal in sights, what we're going to do is we're going to ideate some content for your brand that's non-promotional in nature, all about this idea that's going to build a community that you can start creating today, Harry. But before we get to that point, like I want to have like a really deep understanding of this brand message even further. So so far you've said it's for, your brand is building a community of hard workers. It's building a community of hustlers, of people that embody resilience at their core. And you have this catchphrase, wear your grit. And then you also have this symbol of the phoenix that you mentioned, that the phoenix, which, you know, it's a mythical creature, right? Is in the logo.
Yeah.
Tell me more about this phoenix. Like, why a phoenix? What does a phoenix do? How is it relevant to your brand? I think there's going to be something really key in that.
Yes. The reason why we wanted to have a mythical animal is for brand recall. A good mythical animal will be a good brand recall for any brand, right? If you look at the Detroit Lions, they have the lion. If you look at the sports team, one of them will have a cardinal, to so on to say, right? To represent their teams and logos and so on and so forth. But in our case, Phoenix, this whole fantasy creature, right, is only built on resilience and comebacks and game-changing things. It goes down to ashes, burns itself down to ashes, and rises up from the ashes. If you look at our logo, the whole scribbles that are there around the logos represent the ashes, and the phoenix rising up and flying represents cities that are now booming from rising up from the ashes. The phoenix is the city that rises up from the ashes, and that's the symbolic way by which we are representing the concept that we are trying to drive in, and also the people around the community who have we've started interviewing or talking to and stuff like that. They have stories like cancer survivors who made it, who defeated cancer, who beat better life, who wake up 4 a.m. in the morning, grind it, and then come back and do another job at 5 p.m. in the evening, get back home at 11 to put food on the table. Those are hustlers, right? They just grind. They're a phoenix. They've literally knocked on doors of death and they've come back and saying that, hey, here is my story. I'm like the phoenix. I'm in Detroit. I'm from Detroit. I have the grit and I wear my grit.
No, that's amazing. I don't think there could be a better symbol to represent your brand. What comes to mind is that this is very similar to Nike. Nike is the Greek goddess of victory. We all know the brand Nike, and their whole brand identity is around athletes and representing athletic triumph and overcoming sporting challenges and being a winner. And so it's perfect. Like the Greek goddess of victory is there is no better symbol than that. And that's the exact same with grit cities, is that you have this symbol of the phoenix that goes into the ashes and then rises again out of the ashes. And it rises in such strength. It's almost like the mythical equivalent of a lion, but just like, you know, a whole level up, right? I think, I don't know. It's just epic.
Yeah.
You know, it's just epic.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, that's an amazing symbol. You had this catchphrase. I really want to understand this, or not a catchphrase, but like a slogan. I really want to understand this really well. Wear your grit. Wear your grit. Can you break that down?
The wear has a pun on it. Your grit is our go-to slogan. The clothing line that we are trying to promote is from the wear, W-E-A-R. And your grit, you're having it on your
sleeve. Like wear is in, like wear and tear.
Yeah. W-E-A-R. Right? So, and then it's on your sleeve. You have the chip on your sleeve, chip on your shoulder. You have the grit on your shoulder when you wear this. Think about it, right? A doctor has a coat to say he's a doctor, or a stethoscope. A policeman has a uniform. A person doing three or four jobs doesn't have any identity. That is where Grit City comes into play. This is the identity for the hardworking, working class man. That's where it is. That's why we call it Wear Your Grit. And then we all have that hope to grow up in life and, you know, go places, make that $1 million, chase behind the dream. And Grit City will give this community where the platform for people who have the hope, who are grinding or who have made it in life. That's where Grit City clothing comes into play.
You said something right now that I think is such an important and integral lesson for building community. And it's that you're giving the uniform to a particular identity. You're allowing people to wear their identity on their shoulder, on their shirt, on their chest, and be proud about it. That, I think, that understanding that concept is, I think, the single most important learning to knowing how to build a community. It's knowing what is the identity that my brand represents, and how can I become the brand that people that are proud of that identity can wear on their chest. And so I know, I just wanted to point that out. Thank you. That's amazing, Harry. That's awesome.
Thank you, Olivia. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah. So this is becoming really clear, just to consolidate everything so far. I think it's very clear for the listeners as well. Grit City Clothing, it's for the hard workers, for the hustlers. A really major symbol is the phoenix. From ashes, we rise and we become strong. It's people who take responsibility for their situation. I know you didn't say this, and tell me if I'm incorrect, but I think it's a lot about people who take responsibility for their situation and say, I'm not going to accept this as it is. There's people who say it is what it is, and then there's people that say, I'm not going to accept what it is. I'm going to take responsibility for
this. Question the status quo, right?
Yes, exactly. And so this is your brand identity. Is that correct?
On point.
Amazing. Okay. Now we move into my favorite part. We've got a super clear brand identity. Let's turn it into some content that builds a community of people that are also passionate and resonate with this idea. And so one thing I mean, I've never done this before. We've never done this before on the show. That's not a lie. I have done this many times before, just in private coaching. We've never done this on a podcast before. So one thing I want to really emphasize, Harry, is that this is a collaborative working session. And so we're working to, if you got ideas, you shout them out. Like, I have ideas, we're going to bounce them off. You know your brand better than anyone. And so, like, I need you to know your brand and just be honest with me. If you think an idea is crap, you just let me know. You say, Elijah, that's about the worst idea I've ever heard in my life.
I'm not going to say that. You're a genius in marketing, man.
Oh, I appreciate that, Harry. One thing I'll mention for the viewers, unless otherwise stated, everything that we come up with on the show is live. We have not planned this out together beforehand. This is totally live brainstorming before you. So, like, this makes me a bit scared, if I'm honest, Harry, because what if my brain decides not to work today? That would suck.
I don't think you're doing totally about it.
Oh man. Look, I hope not. But look, I think the first thing, and this is a piece of content that we have spoken about outside the show, and that you've already put into action. I'd love to mention it, and maybe you can briefly touch on it, Harry, and what you're doing. But it's this content series where you're doing interviews with people that represent this idea of grit cities. It's with those that are really resilient in the community. I mean, you mentioned before cancer survivors or people that work multiple jobs, people that have literally pulled themselves out of the ashes and taken responsibility for the situation, and interviewing them and talking about their story. Can you talk about that piece of content? Have you already started creating that, by the way?
Yes, we have started. We've got the gear set up. We bought all the gear needed to do a candid camera shoot and stuff like that. We have interview schedule starting from Monday, but let me touch upon the question itself and what we're trying to do here, right? The theme that we thought was to celebrate grit city or hard work of people or the grit of the people, we should talk to unsung heroes who have untold stories. That's our theme, right? So I was constantly thinking about what we should do. Should we talk to the policemen? Should we talk to the construction workers? But somebody who people don't see often, who are hidden in the dark in the morning, who wake up at 4 a.m. just to get the kids in the school bus drivers, the monitors of the school bus, they have two or three jobs that they hustle and do. They DoorDash in the afternoon. They have two shifts that they go to. They are from different walks of life. You have a lawyer who's retired and wants to do school bus driver for, I don't know, he's in the 70s and he wants to do something like that to give back to the community at that age. He's a hero who should be looked up by other people, right? And then I have, on the other hand, a cancer survivor who takes care of the logistics and of 60 buses that go on up and down. He comes to the office before everybody. He leaves the office after everybody. And he takes his kids to football and so on and so forth. He has three kids. Those are like stories that we really need to pause and listen. They say smell the rose, right? You need to pause and listen to those kind of stories that really are grateful. They are real superheroes, not just Superman or Spider-Man, but the real superheroes of the community who move the community literally, right? So that's our first stand. We are going to go to this school bus depot and capture insights of people, talk to them, get a consent, keep those stories alive. And hopefully from tomorrow, we should start posting on schooly.com along with you and team for our interviews and stuff like that.
Yeah, awesome. That's so cool. I have a question because I think this is going to be like very helpful to viewers that maybe have a brand identity that complements this interview style content with people that represent the idea. How did you find these people and how did you get them on the interview? Talk about this process, like the practicality, the logistics.
It's like it's a numbers game. You have to shoot emails to different bus depots and find out who is responding to you. Go there. What I did was I run two clothing companies. One's called Tempt, the other one is called Grid City. We had some t-shirts from Tempt, which we gave free to the bus yard for people, about 40, 50 t-shirts, just to get them motivated about, hey, we're friendly people. We want to collaborate with you. We want to talk to you. There's nothing and there's no catch in the whole thing. We just want your consent to put the interview. We've still not crossed the bridge, but we've broken the ice. I can take a phone and talk to these people now and say, hey, you guys are free. You know, we'll do it in a library, which is a common space. It'll be a safe space for you to talk to. It's not that we're going to take you into a studio or in your car or outside. Yeah. So we're collaborating with the entire community, even the librarian. We're trying to see if she can help us with the video. We are leaving no stone unturned.
That's awesome. I love that you're using what you got. Because most people get hung up on like, I don't have XYZ because they have this like future vision of what they want to do. You know, for something like interviews, you could say, yeah, I need the studio. Like there's this company, production company, or not production company, but this creative company called, what's it called now? Dark White Underbelly or something like that.
I've seen them.
Yeah. So they're amazing. And they do interviews, like kind of, it's almost similar to what you're doing, Harry, but they do interviews with the people that have had real hardships in America. And they have the whole, you know, they had the studio set up and they've got beautiful camera, beautiful lighting. They've got the nice background. Some people would look at that and go, that's what I want to do. Sure. But I can't do that because I don't have the resources. So I'm just not going to do anything. But no, Harry, you've gone, no, we're sending emails out to people anyway. We'll go and find them in our network. We'll collaborate with the librarian, heck, the librarian, to use a space to film. Like this is being resourceful. And I think I want to point that out. It's not about resources. It's about resourcefulness. It's not about everyone starts with zero. Everybody.
Yep. And look at our followers. We have 5 or 7 followers in Grid City at this point in time.
Everyone starts at zero. It's not about resources. It's about resourcefulness. And so This is awesome. So yeah, like even I'd encourage you, Harry. The library is a great space. Have you ever even thought about doing doing these videos in a place where that's relevant to what makes them gritty people? Like, for example, someone who works 4 or 5 jobs, maybe they maybe a part of their journey every day is walking down a particular road to public transport or to the train station. You know, have you ever thought about like joining people in the place that is kind of representative of their identity? Or maybe a construction worker, maybe they're outside the site, you know, in there. Like, I don't know. Have you ever thought about like that? Or how would that be relevant?
We've listed out scenarios of what we should do in street interviews and stuff like that. I'll walk you through what happens when you interview a construction worker in that environment. The first problem we'll face is our dead cats are not enough to cut the mic and the background sound around. So it's very tricky. And their bosses might not like them doing an interview on site because it's a restricted area. So what we were thinking for that scenario, again, I'm trying to be resourceful, is to maybe give them a gift card for $10, $15 for meal, for a Subway gift card or something like that, and say, hey, during your lunch break, do you want to have an interview? So what we're trying to do is put our marketing expense into people, back into the community. We're not going to boost our posts. We're not going to do all that. So we're going to invest back into the community even before the community invests back into us, right? So we're all pretty nervous and also excited at the same time about the outcome that this is going to have. But I hope that we are on the right path. So that's a problem statement when it comes to the construction worker. Two, like you mentioned, the underbelly, soft underbelly, those guys are having 500,000 followers and they're like real role models for the quality of content. We wanted to have a consistent background in our videos throughout and consistent lighting. So we thought we don't want to afford a studio because studio costs us an arm and a leg out here. But we could afford a library and we could afford a camera like the one that you are seeing me in. So it does a lot of work in active tracking and gimbal and steady lighting and stuff like that. So I hope that works into the small gear that we're investing in. Yep.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Look, I think big takeaway from this, I don't even need to say anything more on it. Your phone is enough. All right, done. So yeah, my question is like, I really like the idea of having a consistent background. This is something I've experimented with my own personal brand, is a similar idea of having the same jacket in every single video. So I have this red Ferrari jacket, and my thought is that maybe someone will not remember my name, maybe not even remember what I talk about, but they might remember that red Ferrari jacket, if nothing else.
You're totally on point. That's one of personal brand building.
Yes,
is consistency and brand standardization. If you become the brand itself, then people will understand, oh, that's Elijah. Oh, that's the Ferrari jacket. Oh, I've seen him before. Yeah. It's a good brand recall at that point in time. That's what we're trying to make. Have fixed camera apertures, fixed angles, fixed lighting. Right. So that's the way we're trying to build it.
I love that idea of having like the same background every time, that the people know, especially if it's something distinctive or something I pay attention to, not just, you know, a white wall or something, but something interesting with some depth. The people will see that and they go, oh, this is Grit Cities. So that's really cool. Yeah. My question is, Harry, is there a way, I don't know if you've really thought about this, but I don't know, to me, a library, it seems very posh and upper and quite stable. And there's something about it that feels off with your brand messaging, being that it's about grittiness. I'm just wondering, Harry, is there a way or another location that comes to mind that would better represent your brand message of the hustlers?
So you have a point, and I think we worked on it. What we're doing right now for the from our perspective of putting grit on that, is we're going to take a nice portrait shot in my D70 camera, use that portrait shot as a thumbnail in our feeds, before the video starts. When a person comes to the profile, they'll see the gritty thumbnail, and then the video starts into the background of the library. So that way you show the person as a construction worker with the background blurred, have a nice bouquet around it, while he's working or biting a sandwich or something like that, and establishes the thing and then cuts into this whole thing is what we are planning at this point. The reason because of the noise that the place has and how comfortable people get more comfortable because they're going to divulge their true stories, the real stories. They want to be in a very comfortable, calm place where they're not bothered by work environment and stuff like that, but tell you true stories of what's happening with themselves and how they are wearing the grit theme. Is when you take them out of the environment and put them somewhere, right? It's a psychology play that we worked with some people, and we found out that don't interview them. Even when you're in school or something like that, if you walk into the principal's office, you're nervous, right? We don't want them being nervous in an interview setup, right? We want to give them a drink or water to drink or talk to them through their journey to when we take them to the library, tell them what the setup is, bond with them before, so that when we ask them questions, they're more comfortable and more open than saying, I don't want to answer that question.
Right? Yeah. No, I hear exactly what you're saying. You're trying to, you want to extract, or not extract, extract's not the right word, but you want to create a space where they're comfortable to be vulnerable. Is that correct?
Exactly. So that there is more drama in the content, right? If there is drama in the background, that's not what people are looking for. They already know he's going to wear the construction worker's outfit and then going to be on the interview. So they know what his job is. And he's going to say, well, or he or she's going to say what their job is or what they're doing at this point. And where were they at the point A and where are they now point B? How, what's the difference and what's going on?
Yeah. Yeah. One thing you mentioned before, I just want to bring up, I want to come back to where we are right now about the location and stuff. I just want to go back to something you mentioned before about the how you would, if I've understood correctly, display your logo or some sort of image before the video starts and then go into the interview. Is that correct?
Exactly. That's correct.
Yeah. One thing that I think that you should be aware of, Harry, and I'm sure you've already heard this before, people decide whether they want to watch and stay with your video in the first 2 seconds.
Oh, this is not going to be part of the reels. It's going to be part of the profile. The thumbnails will look consistent in the profile of an Instagram page.
I see.
The reel
see.
Will be a casual opener, like a 45-second reel, a 1-minute reel, naturally opening into the library setup.
Yes, so, hook in the beginning.
Hook in the beginning. Like the climax will show 5 seconds of the drama that's going to come in the end first and then start of the video.
No, that's it. That's actually a good... good hook too. You show the drama of the end in the beginning and you go into the real. No, thanks for clarifying that. I appreciate
Thank
that.
You for asking,
Look, just only thing, this is just coming to my mind live. A really cool way, like something great. One of the benefits of using your community to create content is that it's a way that you can leverage their audience to build your own. And so for example, in the case of Grit Cities and this little interview series with the gritty people that are doing the stuff, it would be to create a collaboration post, a collaboration reel, where it appears both on the interviewee's account and on the Grit Cities account. My concern, Harry, is that that purpose would be hindered if you were to put the thumbnail as the Grit Cities logo. What if instead the thumbnail of the reel was simply an image of them, like a portrait?
That is what
of
it's
them.
Going to be. So we're going to work on exactly the great idea, and that's what we are also embarking on. We're going to make a black and white portrait with a sand or mud thrown on it on their face with grits
awesome.
Here and there, a grunge, but a little bit of golden shimmer on it as well. This is the thought process. So it goes with Grit City colors. So I'm going to Photoshop that and give it to them to post on their page also. As a profile picture, the Grit City logo and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you seen the collaboration post feature on Instagram?
I haven't seen that. That's a good point. Why don't you elaborate on it? I'll learn.
So the collaboration feature allows you know how you can tag a person in your post?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's almost like an extension of a tag. And so instead of just tagging them, what you can do is invite them to be a collaborator. And that's just fancy language to say that the post comes from both your account and their account. It actually appears on both accounts.
Nice.
So if you post something to your feed and they accept the collaboration request, it'll also appear in their feed and to their audience. And so it's not just like a share. That's actually coming up. And it's an amazing feature because it allows you, it's like a share, but on cocaine.
There you go. We are definitely going to thank you, Elijah. That's a great point. So I didn't even think about that. That's why you need Elijah, guys. That's why I call him a genius. He knows all the ins and outs. So watch out. Right? There you go. Collaborate.
I'm not paying him to say this.
No, I'm not. I'm not being paid. I'm learning.
Yeah, so it's just a good thing. Like, so with that collaboration feature in mind, I think it's a good filter to put through every single idea that you have for a piece of content like this in terms of asking yourself the question, how do I make this more desirable for the interviewee to share it on their page? How do I make it more desirable for them to do so? And so, like some of the things that come to mind are like making sure the thumbnail looks like something that they would want to see on their page, right? And so like being really clear about like, what do people, you know, is this person actually going to like this image? If they don't like their thumbnail image, chances are they're not going to collaborate. But if they love it, heck, it's good. So, I mean, I think, you know, just on a practical level, it looks like taking a photo with your phone or camera or whatever, like before or after the interview in the style you want to do it, whether it's just straight face or, you know, deadpan or smiling, whatever, it doesn't matter. But then make sure they actually like the photo. And if they don't like the photo, then take it again, because that's going to probably influence if they reshare it or not. You know what I mean? If they like the photo. Mm-hmm. So that's just a very practical thing that you can do that comes to mind. There's other things too.
Great idea.
Yeah. No, this is good. So look, I want to come back, bring the conversation back to the setting because I'm caught up, and maybe you're really sold on the library, but I understand the intention. You want to create a place that feels safe and secure, that they can be vulnerable and share their story. I'm wondering if there's some middle ground between they feel safe to share their story and it feels on brand to Grit Cities. Because, I mean, is there a reason you choose the library other than to make them feel safe? Feel like it's on brand to Grit Cities?
When we wanted to do those interviews with people, some of them were skeptical about the place where we want to meet them or where we want to see them, because you are strangers. We've not met them before, right? So they wanted a common place which is very safe. What better place than a library, which is one, free of cost, two, you it's a safe place for everybody to come in. The security is good, right? They don't feel threatened. Or we could do it like them standing outside the car or outside the mall or something like that. But that's not going to reproduce the quality that we are looking to reach with the limitation that we have in our gear, and to have consistency in the branding as well. So, but the clothing is going to be gritty. Most of them are going to have gritty clothing. They're not going to be well-dressed.
Yeah.
They're not going to be. So that's going to establish the grittiness that you're talking on brand. Grittiness is going to be the clothing and the colors that they showcase. Right. And we're also trying to do. You go ahead.
Yeah. So no, I was just going to ask. So the library, it's more of a practical choice than anything. It's commonplace. It feels like everyone can meet there. And also it works with your gear. You know, there's probably, it's a bit quieter. You can film there, and it's really good. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah. Well, I'm just wondering, and I'm sure there is, it's just a matter of thinking, is there a place that feels safe, that's common, that works, that you can make work with the gear you have, and is more on brand to your grittiness than a library? Let me ask you this. Oh, yeah. Well, you go ahead. If you have an idea, Harry, go ahead.
So we had these list of places in mind before we started. First thing was a mall. Mall gets too much of attention and it's a little crowded. People like to stand by and watch what you're doing. If there's an interview and stuff like that, that makes the interviewer conscious of what they're speaking, because you put them literally on the spot. Second place, we thought it was a park. Why did we go to a park? It's kind of set up where there's a lot of leaves around and stuff like that. The bird chirping and the noise that we get from around where we are, we're in a nature's town here in Michigan. So it kind of is nice, but it's not getting the quality that we want from a recording perspective. We have an inline a microphone like this one, which has a dead cat on it, but still doesn't capture the quality that we want to get out of when we do the audio and video syncs and stuff like that. And the post-production quality is not great because people are literally scrolling through the post, and we want to be really on point with the audio, especially the audio, given about the video. But I hear your point, though. We are trying to get a space going for now for us to start off things. I thought library is the best choice. We ticked out the sound, audio, free to use. Even there, we have some pros and cons because you have to literally schedule this 2 hours ahead for you to have a room. If the room is occupied, you don't get the room that you want, right? So those are all the problems that we're trying to battle. Erin's with me, so she does a little bit of scheduling and planning and all that stuff. So it takes a lot of load out of my shelf. So.
Sure. Yeah. No, I hear what you're saying. Just on the audio point, before I was doing more of the strategy side of marketing, I was a videographer for fashion brands. So I've done a lot of work with cameras and audio and all these types of things. I don't know if you're aware, Harry, but there is really good software now and really good AI that can clean up your audio so nicely. And it really almost makes like the, I don't want to invalidate your point about, you know, the sounds around and the, you know, the birds and the street, whatever it is. Like, it's still important to find a fairly quiet space. But for one, it's really quite easy and accessible to clean up audio very well to a high standard and a very professional standard. And the point number two, is that like, I wonder if it even matters as much as you think it does, because I think if there is quality content, and when I say content, I mean the content of the video itself, like what are you actually saying in it? The hook, what they're saying in the interview and what they're sharing, and then the message that's resonating. If that's good, it'll reach no matter what. And good quality audio is just an extra, but it doesn't have to be like, it can be good enough. You know what I mean? And like some birds in the background, I mean, who cares?
The only reason, and the reason is, and I hear your point completely, and I am aware of this technology as well, that is there, is the cost of taking this interview and getting that person to make that interview is so precious for us, because we literally have to follow up with them 3 to 4 times, get them in the groove. They will want to leave home. They're tired from 4 a.m. in the morning. Getting the 30 minutes of time to get this going, I don't want to, you know, I don't know. I don't want to play the cards at that point and say that the gamble at the point, saying that, okay, the audio would be cleaned up. Then I come back to my studio and I'm like, holy, whatever, it's not clear enough. And these are old people. Some of them are really old people who stammer to speak and stuff like that. But I'm going to do both kinds of videos to see where we're going to get more audience to view. I hear your point. For the youngsters who have a louder voice, I'll do the outdoor. For the old people, I'll do the indoor, probably a mix of both, or whatever it takes us. But it's a very fair point that you mentioned.
No, that's good. I think you summarized it perfectly, and the approach is very clear. Test it out. See how it goes. And the most important thing is just starting with whatever you got. So, heck, if that's a library and that's it, that's awesome. You're starting. That's like, that's where you want to be. You're ahead of 99% of people that never even do that much. So, and it's still going to good. Yeah. So something, I just want to mention this because this came to mind. What if you did it at a bus stop? It's a bit crazy. I know it's a bit crazy, but the reason I say a bus stop is because it almost represents like the hustle of getting up, like hopping on the bus, going, working from to, working in your 9 to 9, not 9 to 5, your 9 to 9, coming home late at night, just, you know, provide for your family. And it's kind of like representative of the idea. I mean, when I say that, what comes to your mind?
The only problem is Michigan doesn't have so many bus stops. America is not run by buses, but run by cars.
Oh,
exactly.
Polar
opposite from it's a great idea. Exactly. Polar opposite from Australia or Singapore or places like that, right? Where you have public commute for everything. America is run by cars.
I hear
you. But I can't find a bus stop in Detroit. But again, pulling. So what we're trying to do, Elijah, strategically, is a 5 minute or a 2 minute drive from their workplace for them to meet us up. We don't want them to be too stressed. If I'm going to say, meet me in this bus stop 30 minutes away from where I am, they're going to be like, maybe we'll do it on the weekend. Weekend, they're not going to answer their phone and I've lost that interview.
Yeah. No, I hear what you're saying. Yeah. Look, so my other idea with that is, and I think I already mentioned this to you before, I think I have, is to have it less planned, right? Now, I know that sounds kind of crazy because you want it to be good. But instead of finding the people and then hitting them up, sending them emails, you know, sending them DMs, whatever, following up, planning a time, that takes a lot. And that's a good strategy and it'll work. And you'll have some really quality interviews out of that, I'm sure, because you find people that are exactly who you want. The other approach, and I've done both of these, by the way. The other approach is very spontaneous. It's very much man on the street. And it's where you go, like, here's my thought, right? And if it's not a bus stop, just, you know, it could be somewhere else. But say there's a bus stop and you go up, there's just one person waiting at the bus stop and say, hey, excuse me, give them a compliment. Right? Excuse me, I love your hat today. Or, oh, it's such a nice day. Just mention something like icebreaker, right? Wow, it's such a lovely day, isn't it? Or good morning, right? And they'll, you know, then hopefully they'll say something, but if not, well, they've thrown you in the deep end and it's over to you to keep talking. And you go, by the way, sorry, this is totally random, totally out of the blue. I have a community I'm building that's for people who make this city what it is. And I'm looking for people that are wanting to share their stories, their stories of hardships, how they've hustled and what kind of, you know, what kind of successes and struggles that they've seen in their life. This is totally crazy. Would you be open to doing just a 5 minute, I'll ask you a few questions, a 5 minute recording right now. And either they'll go, absolutely, yes. Absolutely. I've been waiting for someone, you know, a platform to share my story, right? And in which case, great, go for it. You know, sit down, have some things prepared that you could ask them and where they can talk about their story. Or they might go, absolutely not, right? No, thank you. In which case, you just move on to the next person. Like, you got to expect it. Or they might be the third option, which is somewhere in between. And they kind of, they do this thing, they pause for a minute and they're like, they look around. They're like, they're looking for like some, like, you know, they're looking for answers. They're looking around. They don't know. And so in that moment, you just give them context. You say it's, and you crush any of their objections. So it'll only take 5 minutes, no more. I mean, you know, you're just waiting around anyway. You could even, like, if you have a small audience, you could say, yeah, like, oh, it's not like millions and millions of people. It's just like, it's like a small audience and like all these types of things you can let them know. And, you know, you're not like trying to convince them or really, you just, you know, slightly pushing them if they're maybe they're sitting on the fence. And and that way you can just, it means you could do it any location you want. Mm-hmm. And it also takes away the preparation of doing it, you know, like booking out the rooms and like whatever. It's just an idea. Yeah, what do you think, Harry?
It's a fantastic idea. I'm a little nervous to say hello to those people on the streets, but I'm going to try it just because you're saying it. It might come give me the best interviews that I could have, stories that I could ever get. And that too from a bus stop or from a train station or from an Eastern market in Detroit. We could pick up those people and talk to them about it. I have to work on those skills, I guess, personally, which I will. I think I have to shave my beard or something like that to be non-threatening, I guess. Right? But yeah,
even do it with your partner, Aaron, because that's because if you guys are together and they see a man and a woman and they're in a relationship, there is something about that subconsciously they compare you to other people that they've known, that they know in a relationship. Oh, if she can be with him, he must be reasonable. Right? I mean, Harry, like, you're a very reasonable guy. Right?
I don't know about that.
But this is their head. This is their
head.
We've got
to get it from her.
Right? This is what they think. Like, if she can be with him, he must be reasonable. Right? You know, so...
There you go.
So just an idea. And look, the truth is, it's scary as hell. It's scary as hell. And, like, it's... The thing that has really helped me, and I think it will help you, so I'll share it with you. A couple of things. Keeping the goal in mind. What is the result on the other side of doing this? Yes, it's scary in the moment, but I know if I do this well and I get a good interview out of this, this is the content that nobody else is willing to make. And therefore, nobody else is really seeing on the platform. And if it hits the right person, if it resonates with the right group, this could go viral. And one viral video is enough to absolutely launch my next clothing drop into stardom. Right?
There you go.
So that's you keep that in mind every time you're like, oh, I don't know if I want to approach that person. It's like, no, I'm going to. The other thing, and in fact, actually, I'll tell a story on that. I was working with a client and they had a brand. Their identity was about mental health. And they had one video in the first 14 days that took off on TikTok, 1.5 million views, 200,000 likes. The next clothing drop, they sold out over 200 units in under 90 minutes. It was their quickest ever sellout clothing drop, right? I should mention it wasn't their first clothing drop, right? So they had done sold out drops before. But it was the most units they've ever done, and it was also the quickest they've ever sold out. My point is with this is that one viral video has the potential to bring in the people that are going to absolutely crush on your next drop. Okay. So the other thing I'll tell you is think in your mind of having your mind two realities, right? Think if this works, I get to make my clothing brand into my dream career.
Correct.
So that's one. The other one is that if I don't do this, I have to go back to my day job and I don't get to make clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's helpful to me to consider what's more painful. Is it approaching this person who I really don't want to approach because it makes me super uncomfortable and it could be awkward and I could face rejection and social skills? Or is it more painful to go back to my day job? And I think for anyone who actually cares about their clothing brand, it's pretty well always going back to my day job is more painful than the uncomfortable things that I have to do in order to make my clothing brand work.
Totally well said. So that's why we're building this brand, to get away from our 9-to-5s, stick to a self-employed entrepreneurship and career so that we all can relax, have some time with the family and, you know, break bread.
That's
and stuff
it.
Like that.
That's the dream, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, man, I think that there's some really, that's a really great content series there. And you know, you can try both. You could do the organized interviews. You could do the man on the street spontaneous interviews and, you know, just keep them short. At the end of the day, if you come away with a 45-second video and it was a little 5-minute interview and you just take out the best parts, maybe you upload the full thing to YouTube. You know, heck, there's a heap. Get out of there.
There you go.
Yeah. And even quantity wise, like think if you do the spontaneous one, you might have a 3-hour time slot. And let's just say you can approach, you know, 5 people every hour. In 3 hours, you've got 15 videos that you can now upload. Yeah. That's 3 hours, 15 pieces of content. Heck, not all of them are going to go crazy, but if you do the interviews right and it's on brand, it resonates, and they say something that's really vulnerable, I would not be surprised if one of them just takes off.
There you go. I hope so too, Elijah. I'm going to try all your tricks and I'm going to work with you and make sure that we get it on brand. And we're going to share all the content with your community, Streetwear 365, right? We're going to get all the feedback from the Dereks and the Hennings of the world and you as well. So we're going to we're going to make this big this time, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. No, I think, I mean, was this helpful, Harry? Do you think you've come away with something that you than you had before?
Especially the man on the street concept and the concept on lighting and on point and grit and brand branding that we could do. Great takeaways from this, Elijah. Really appreciate your time and thought process to share these ideas with us, with me rather, not us. It's so used to talking with Darren and me and us, and right, I keep saying that. So fantastic.
No. Thanks for your time coming on the show. And I think one big thing I want to draw out from this listeners is the importance of creating repeatable and easy to create content. It's these this piece of content that you can do it with two people or less, and it's repeatable, right? So you don't need to come up with new content ideas every single time. You can say,
take the little pressure off. Yeah,
the broadest most concept is man on the street interviews sharing stories of people who are hustling to make their reality better than it is tomorrow. And you can do that with 100, 1,000 people. And there you go, there's 100, 1,000 videos. That's helps the ideation process to do something like that. Hey.
Totally. I agree. Yeah.
Before we wrap this up, I'd love to just spend 5 minutes. Let's just talk about some ways. How could you expand on this content idea to kind of like what kind of content offshoots could you have from this content idea? And I want to give an example because, I mean, maybe it's not exactly clear. I don't know what to call it. But what comes to mind is even portraits. Just posting the portraits of the people and then writing in the caption a bit about their story. You know, I've seen that around before, and that could be a cool way to make that's no worries. Yeah, it could be a cool way to make like a little, offshoot content series, basically from with no extra work or very little extra work.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
Totally. So that's the main reason why we wanted to start interviewing people, because the pressure in creating new content every day is immense to keep the social media consistency going. And interviewing creates rinse and repeat approach. So it makes it easier for us to churn out content. But the only worry that we have is the time it's going to take to edit all this, put it together on a daily basis, because we'll be running for the interview. So I'm the one man with Aaron. So we have to do the editing, we have to do the modeling, we have to do the interviewing, we have to do talking to the manufacturer. Everything is going to be on us. So we're just hoping how we distribute time, plus our day job.
I hear what you're saying. Harry, keep the editing simple. Keep it really simple, because it's not about the editing that makes good content work. It's
Elijah, you don't want me showing off my editing skills, huh?
Oh man, you're funny, man. You're funny. But keep it simple. If there's any area to actually spend the time to make it good, it's in the interview itself, not in the post production. In the post production, keep it fairly raw. You know, just find a really good snippet where they said something that you go, oh, that's key. That resonates. That's vulnerable. Put some subtitles on it. You can even do this in Instagram and then post that. But it's that could take you 15 minutes, and that's all it needs to. Yeah.
Alrighty. I'm all excited, and I hope we get some interviews going tomorrow. We have some scheduling that we've done, and hopefully we'll start it off, and we'll keep the community posted on our day-to-day.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So, dear listener, if you want to check out Harry, if listeners want to keep up with your content and what you're doing with Grit Cities and your brand, mm-hmm. where can they find you?
We are part of Instagram. We are part of YouTube. We're just getting started. So if you see this community that's with 7 followers and 9 followers, that is us. If you see a Phoenix logo, that is us. We are not Grit, C-I-T-I-E-S, but we are Grit, C-I-T-Y-S, clothing. So, and gritcities.com is our domain. We are working on the domain as we speak. We are just a brand who just got started 3 weeks ago. And that's the truth. And if you follow us, you'll follow our entire journey as we break into the big branch that we want to break into. So it'll be an exciting thing for you guys to watch on as well.
Yes, amazing. Yes, so that's Instagram handle, Grit Cities, cities with Y-S, not I-E-S, Y-S. Yeah.
Yes.
So yeah, I'll also link it in the description wherever you're consuming this podcast. And also join the community of brand owners that Harry and I are building together and all the other members that are helping us build this. It's called Streetwear 365. There's a link in the description. You can join for free. And Harry's keeping us updated, you know, what he's working on and how he's actually doing this. And so many other brand owners as well that are sharing their projects, asking questions, giving advice. I make posts there. I like to think that I give some value there too. But yeah, please join. There's no reason not to, and it's totally free. Totally worth it. Hey, Harry.
Totally agree on those statements. Those are true words. He's not paid me to do this interview, nor am I telling anybody unfactual or untruthful things here. You guys need to join. It's free. Only when you join, you see the benefits. It's mind-blowing as a clothing brand owner. Even though I have so many years of experience in design, I stumble on so many learnings that I can take out from this community. And kudos to Elijah for putting this together. I respect his grind. He's part of Grit Cities as well. He wears his grit, and hashtag wear your grit is what I will tell all you guys, like Elijah does.
I love it, Harry, so much. Look, Harry, thank you once again for coming onto the show. I really wish you the best for your community that you're building of people that are hustling, that are the gritty people that are making the great cities what they are. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what comes of your brand. Thanks for coming on, Harry.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Elijah, for the opportunity.